Welcome to the Greater Cincinnati Business Report. Stephen J. Lowenstein with you for the next hour as we look through the pages of this week's Cincinnati Business Courier. We'll kick off our program today talking about office space in Cincinnati and how it is vanishing. We'll then continue with City Council to send repeal of the transit earnings tax to voters. And many of you will recall the old Western Rollerama. Well, it's been purchased and it's going to be a gymnastics center. Next on the agenda today, Cincinnati Christian University could lose its accreditation. And Silverton is in the news. It's coming back a bit as it turns to public art to create some economic momentum. Then it's back to City Council for another article on their approval of incentives for an OTR housing project. Well, they talk about Procter & Gamble cuts annual ad spending by $350 million. Targets mainly are the, quote, smart audiences. And we'll also have some information for you about some new options in residential real estate regarding Zillow. We'll talk about Belcan expanding their headquarters in Blue Ash. Rounding out our program, these three articles: Security National, Automotive Acceptance Corporation, is going to close. They are a auto financing operation, a rather large one. Then we'll talk about the best states for vacation homes. You may or may not be surprised that Ohio is not amongst them. And finally, Procter & Gamble, one more time, boost global employment. Then in the second half of the program, we'll kick off with a Business Pulse poll. Very important question being asked this week. Would you buy fewer Bengals tickets if there was zero threat of a TV blackout? I know all of you are on the edge of your seats waiting for the result of that poll. I'll give it to you in just a couple of moments. First, let's get started, though, with this week's cover story from the print edition of the Business Courier. It's entitled, Cincinnati Office Space is Vanishing. At the end of 2018, when Chris Bazillo started hunting for space for his downtown-based immigration law firm, he had a pretty good idea of what he wanted. Mazzillo, the managing partner of Mazzillo Oakenholt LLC, wanted to stay in the southwest corner of the Central Business District. His firm is in the textile building at 205 West 4th Street. He was interested in extending his lease. His new landlord, however, was not. Why? His landlord, an affiliate of Washington, D.C.-based Bernstein Companies, which purchased the building at the beginning of 2019, it announced plans for a $50 billion conversion of the 215,000-square-foot office building to residential space. Mazzillo's law firm ended up taking space at 302 West 3rd Street, increasing its square footage by 50%, but it also had to double its rent. We were definitely considering Class A space, but the decision to some degree was kind of thrust upon us, Mazzillo said. There are not many B spaces available. That's the reality. Mazzillo's plight is just one example of the struggles Class B office tenants face in the Central Business District. Now, since 2012, more than 2.95 million square feet of office space in downtown Cincinnati, most of which would be considered Class B, has been converted or is expected to be converted to some other use. To put that into perspective, that's more than three Great American office towers worth of office space. The conversion of Class B office buildings to other uses is about finding the highest and best use of real estate. For Cincinnati's renaissance to continue, it needs to fill its core. In many cases, that means space that historically has been full of employees is now better suited to those who want to live in the urban core or are visiting the city. But there will be growing pains for Class B office tenants as the market changes. Nearly 1.4 million square feet of office space is already gone, converted to apartments, a hotel, and in one case, demolished completely. Another 258,000 square feet of space is under construction now. These former Class B office buildings will become hotels or apartments. Another 1.3 million square feet of space downtown is expected to be converted from office to some other use in the coming years. To be sure, the addition of housing units and hotel options adds to downtown's vibrancy. Hundreds of new residents are now living downtown, and visitors have more options than ever to check out the region's revitalized core. The removal of underperforming office space also makes the office market look healthier, as vacancy rates have dropped. But the unintended consequences of converting these buildings is a lack of options for Class B tenants, those looking to spend less than $20 per square foot. Forcing decisions. As the next wave of building gets ready to convert, where will Class B tenants go? Peter Snow, executive director with Cushman & Wakefield, currently is working with a half dozen office tenants in search of Class B office space in the Central Business District or outside of downtown. With more conversions expected to start soon, there will be fewer options for these tenants. It's forcing tenants to look toward either Class A or to look outside of downtown, Snow said. These office tenants are not going to overpay when they can move to the suburbs, not pay for parking, and still get a quality building. Class B and C buildings at downtown Cincinnati are being converted because the cost to update for office tenants is too high. The buildings are not attractive to today's office users, and there's been more rent growth on the residential and hotel sides than office. All of these conversions have either been to apartments, hotels, or a mixture of residential space with some commercial space remaining. The market changes. People want apartments and hotel options downtown, Snow said. But there are also is a reason why these owners are selling and making conversions. Because they were not doing well. The downtown apartment market has been hot for years. Effective residential rent growth in the Central Business District for apartments from 2017 to 18, according to the most recent data available from CBRE, was 8.1%. Hotels in Cincinnati also continue to thrive, even as more rooms are added. Revenue per available room, which measures both room rates and occupancy, has been climbing. The According to data provided by STR, the leader in global hospitality benchmarking, RevPAR for downtown hotels has climbed from $84.72 in 2013 to $98.05 last year. That's more than a 15.7% increase over 5 years. Conversions of historic buildings can also take advantage of incentives, such as new market tax credits, federal and state historic tax credits. Having more people live downtown is a good thing for office utilization and expansion, says Dan Neuer, president and CEO of Neuer Properties. Companies locate where people are. This bodes well for office and other amenities. On the other hand, office rates in the Central Business District have stayed essentially flat for the past 20 years, even with inflation. Buildings that are asking for about $25 per square foot today were asking for that amount in 1999. In fact, as operating expenses have risen, it's likely base rent, the money paid for the space itself, has been squeezed even more. That helps explain why office building owners were not investing in their buildings as office space. After adding the cost of updating mechanical equipment, improving facades, and then investing more in tenant-up fixed cost, the amount a landlord would have to charge would be more than the space is worth. The cost to retrofit pushed rents beyond what the market could bear. From a tenant and landlord perspective, they stopped making sense due to the rising cost of construction. Neuer said he would like to see all office rates increase 25%. That would help solve the challenges of creating environments, gathering places, and other amenities that help attract and retain talent. To have a healthy real estate market, you have to have an average increase in rental rates to provide the amenities tenants want, Neuer said. More conversions to come. The crunch will be felt as developers convert the next round of buildings. Office buildings that still have a number of tenants, including the Central Trust Tower and the Textile Building, haven't started the conversion process, but both are working on plans to convert to residential space. The Gwynn Building, which was purchased by an affiliate of Nuovo RE at the beginning of 2019 for $5.6 million in cash, is also a likely candidate for conversion in the future. Nuovo RE is transforming a former YMCA in St. Louis into a boutique hotel. The Denver-based firm focuses on urban redevelopment and calls itself a socially and environmentally conscious group dedicated to honoring a community's heritage by redeveloping iconic buildings into catalytic destinations that foster opportunities for enlightenment and appreciation on its website. All three buildings still have office tenants that would need to relocate to make way for development. Many of the buildings being converted have attributed today's office tenants' issue: low ceilings, fewer smaller windows, and small floor plates, leading to the need for more, less efficient space. The buildings being converted often have low occupancy. Now, it's not that there are no Class B options left. In fact, the CBD still has about 1.1 million square feet of B space available. However, the B space that remains is better than what's been on the market before, and because supply is tightening, prices are increasing. Mark Siebens, managing director at Newark Knights Frank's Cincinnati office, that a lot of buildings in the conversion category were functionally obsolete as office space. He uses the analogy of firefighters starting controlled fires in the forest to get rid of flammable fuel. Overall, it makes the whole forest healthier, Seaman said. They're 70, 80, 100 years old. They're not what modern office users are looking for. Digger Daly, a director with Cushman & Wakefield, who only represents landlords, said the continued conversion will only increase the value of Class B office buildings. They've got more fish coming to them now, Daly said. They still got options, but with that much coming offline, it should drive up rates. The data backs that up. As of the second quarter of 2019, the most recent Colliers data available, the average weighted asking rate for Class B space downtown is $18.25 per square foot. That's up nearly 8% from the same time a year ago. The average for Class A office space actually decreased to $23.04 per square foot. That's down from $23.47 a year ago, according to Lauren DeFilippo, Director of Research for Colliers International. The price gap between A and B is also shrinking. Last year, the price difference was about $6.50 per square foot. This year, it dropped to $4.79 per square foot. Scott Yards, Senior Vice President with the Cincinnati Office of CBRE, said the conversions have prompted an increased activity at A-/B-plus buildings, such as the Huntington Center at 525 Vine Street, Center at 600 Vine, and 36 East 7th. We are coming into a serious space issue, Yards said. If you look around today for 50,000 square feet, the options become pretty limited. One thing that won't happen is the construction of new Class B office space. With construction costs where they are, it would not be possible for a developer to construct a new building and charge Class B rents. If rent rates are pushed up enough, due to the lack of supply and increased demand across all classes, it could lead to new Class A office development downtown. Aside from GE's building at the Banks and 84.51 space in the heart of downtown, the only new office building in the Central Business District since 1992 is the Great American Tower at Queen City Square. Even that was unique circumstance. A developer, Eagle Realty Group, the development arm of Western and Southern Financial Group, had American Financial Group in line to lease 22 floors of the 530,000 square feet of the 41-story tower. With Eagle Realty's recent lease of the top 7 floors of Columbia Plaza, a total of about 126,000 square feet of space, there are few big blocks of office space remaining in the CBD. If the city is going to attract a large office user, well, there must be a place where it can locate. It's likely the decreasing overall vacancy rate led by Class B space is playing a role in Lincoln Property Company's plans to build a Class A office tower at the Banks. The $90 million, 371,000 square foot tower would be added to the downtown submarket and has nearly 885,000 square feet of Class A office space available. Vacancy for an A space in the CBD is 11.1%, according to the latest data from Colliers International. However, there are very few big blocks of space, and those that remain are mostly in the lower floors of office towers. The addition of new Class A space would have the same trickle-down effect Great American Tower had. Tenants will move to A-plus space. Class A buildings will work to backfill those losses, and so on. A move up in quality for Class B tenants is good for both landlord and tenants, Stevens said. Landlords are able to charge more rent, which gives them funds to improve their buildings. Even though it can be harder to quantify, better space benefits the tenants too. The office becomes a talent attraction and retention tool for employers. When tenants improve their space, they may pay more, but it can help reduce cost in other areas, such as turnover or recruiting cost. Muzzolo looked at other Class B buildings downtown before landing at 302 West 3rd Street. He's looking forward to additional space, large windows, and an open floor plan that will be attractive to his young workforce. His firm, along with other Class B tenants, will have to deal with competing uses for Cincinnati's older office buildings for the foreseeable future. It's unfortunate for the Class B tenants that need to be put in that price point, Snow said. But overall, the conversion impact is very positive. Now, for those of you on the western side of Cincinnati, you're probably familiar with the Western Rollerama, and, you know, it's been closed for some time, if memory serves. Well, now, that's about to change, as Gymnastics Center purchases the iconic roller rink. Local Gymnastics Center is preparing to move into the former Western Rollerama, an iconic roller skating rink on the west side. The Gymnastics Center, located at 3660 Work Road in Bridgetown, purchased the 24,000-square-foot property at 5166 Crookshank Road in Covedale for $715,000, according to Hamilton County Auditor's Office records. TGC began construction on the space on the 7th of August, that's according to its Facebook page. Having grown up on the west side and attending skating parties there as a kid, we do realize how much this building, items, and memories mean to this area, TGC wrote in a Facebook post. There'll be a few things, large disco ball, a bench that are being kept and will be used in the new facility. Our goal is to give this space a new life and keep it as a place for children to have fun, parties, and make memories. DGC wrote that the design of the new space will include a multi-purpose room, a large space that will allow the center to expand into new types of programs for children. Its current 11,000-square-foot facility features a preschool gym and a gym for ages 6 through 18. DGC offers gymnastics and tumbling, as well as birthday parties and other events. The Western Rollerama's remaining assets are up for auction online until August the 11th. Next, the first of a couple of articles regarding Procter & Gamble as they boost global employment. The global workforce reached 97,000 in 2018-19 fiscal year that ended in June. That's an increase of 5,000 employees from the previous year. The employment estimate from the Cincinnati-based maker of consumer goods, such as Tide detergent, was up 5.4% from 92,000 workers in the previous fiscal year. While P&G didn't explain the increase in a filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission after the stock market closed on the 6th of August, about 4,000 workers were absorbed via the acquisition of the consumer health business of Merck KGaA of Darmstadt, Germany, for $3.7 billion. That deal closed in November. Other smaller acquisitions also added employees. In addition, earlier this year, Procter & Gamble offered jobs to most of the 520 employees of a company that had staffed a P&G warehouse and distribution center in Southern California. The 97,000 figure includes about 10,000 workers in Cincinnati. While the total manufacturing and non-manufacturing employees, it doesn't count interns, co-ops, contractors, and employees of joint ventures. The number wasn't restated to exclude employees of discontinued operations. The last time P&G employed so many people was in fiscal 2015 and 16. The company had a workforce of 105,000. They shed thousands of workers since then by exiting dozens of brands to focus on the more profitable ones. In 2017 and 18, amid the downsizing, P&G reported having 92,000 workers. The company had 110,000 workers in fiscal 2014 and 15, and P&G had 118,000 in fiscal 2013 and 14. Employee separation charges for the recently ended fiscal year related to about 1,800 employees, down from 2,700 separated in the fiscal year that ended June of this year. The packages were primarily voluntary. The amounts were calculated based on salary levels and past service periods. Severance costs related to voluntary separation are generally charged to earnings when the employee accepted the offer. P&G's profit for recently ended fiscal year was more than $3.89 billion. Net sales for the 2018-19 fiscal year were $67.7 billion, up 1% from the previous year. And organic sales grew 5% for the year, driven by a 2% increase in organic shipment volume. And you can turn the volume back up in just a couple of moments when I return with the second half of this week's edition of the Greater Cincinnati Business Report.